All right, good afternoon. We're going to get started. So thanks so much for coming to the session. I don't know if we're like right after lunch or right before lunch yet. Before lunch. Okay, so I'm going to get you out of time here. My name is Augusto Valdez, and I've been working on the Windows Phone division for the last 5 years. So I've been through many of the histories of Windows Mobile first, Windows Phone later. And what we're going to do today is, I don't know if you guys are aware or how many of you are aware about the announcement that we did last week about Windows Phone 8. Some of you saw some of that. Great. So what we're going to talk about today is about the future of Windows Phone and what we are going to be doing with Windows Phone in the next coming months, so you can have a little bit of an idea on what are the areas where we're going to be focusing on the phone, with the phone for the coming years. But before going there, what I would like to do is I would like to talk a little bit about where we are right now and what is what we are seeing our customers are experiencing with Windows Phone 7.5 today. One of the key things is that we've been very humbled to see how people that are using our phone are really finding the phone to be a great experience for them to actually use. And this is something that we're getting from consumers. And when we were preparing to actually give this speech today and on the announcement last week, we went to basically just Amazon.com, which is this online retailer that sells multiple different phones from multiple different providers, just to see what the level of acceptance was of the phone. And they basically rate the phone by user ratings positive comments about the phone, and the first three are the first three phones that they have with the highest rate from consumer use were Windows Phone. So that was pretty very 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 impressive for us. The next on the next six, we had actually five of the next six of the first six spots on customer rating, and we went into the top nine. We had seven of the top nine different phones in terms of like customer satisfaction and ratings, positive ratings in terms of the usage of the phone. So we're very very happy to see how people that are using our phone really take advantage of the benefits that we have on there, and they see the value of the phone that we have in there. So it's very very positive for us to see this level of trend. And of course, these phones are specifically U.S. phones because it's in the U.S. Amazon side of Amazon. But still, it's a very key indicator of how the phone is doing in terms of like people using the phone today. So again, seven of the nine of the top nine highest rated phones are Windows phones in the Amazon site today, though, so that's very, very important for us. And what we're seeing also is that the press is getting very excited about the phone as well. People or analysts or press that has been reviewing the phone, they understand and they see the value of it. They see how it is different from all the other type of phones that are available in the market today, and they see the potential and the value of the phone in the market. And then also enterprise customers who have been adopting Windows Phone, they see the value as well of the better user interface and how consumers are getting very excited about what the phone provides in it. But at the same time, they also see how the business productivity gets improved by the ease of use of common productivity tools like Outlook, like Office, that all come included into the phone, and the easy way to connect the phone back into our back-end systems like Exchange and SharePoint and be able to collaborate and all these and do all these different things. So there's a value that enterprise organizations are seeing there. And then from the developer ecosystem, we've also seen a great adoption from ISVs. And what we can see today, what we can say today is that we have over 100,000 applications now in marketplace. Most of them are of course for public consumption, but there's a good chunk of them that are also private applications that are hidden into the marketplace. And adding all of these, we have more than 100,000 today. So that shows up adoption of ISVs in less than 18 months. We've been around 18 months in market since we released Windows Phone 7 for the first time. We did the update for Windows Phone 7.5 last October. So we are under 2 years still in the market, and we have been able to hit the 100,000 mark of applications in marketplace faster and quicker than any other platform reached into this particular milestone. So again, we're very excited about the level of interest that we're getting from our consumers and the level of satisfaction that we get from our consumers when they use the phone, and that's what we saw in the first chart from Amazon. We're very excited about what analysts and enterprise customers are saying about how it brings benefit into the enterprise and it brings benefit for the end users in terms of like business productivity and ease of use. And we also see a great adoption from the ISV ecosystem, bringing up applications into the marketplace, building up an ecosystem that will be here for the future with a very strong position. So we're very, very excited about all those different things. And this is what we have, what has been happening in the last 18 months since we released Windows Phone 7 for the first time. So today, what we want to do is to actually focus into some of the things that are happening to the market, right? One key thing for Microsoft this year, of course, as you are probably aware, is the release of Windows 8, right? Windows 8 is going to be coming into publicly, and is going to be available towards the end of this calendar year. And everybody's very excited about the new innovation that we're bringing in Windows 8. And the interesting thing about Windows 8 is that it also takes some of the paradigms that we have been already working in Windows Phone for a couple of years now, like the lifestyles and all those different type of things. But in Windows, Windows 8 is going to be a great and a very important milestone for Microsoft this year. Now, what it is important is that we are working together, and we are releasing about at the same time our Windows Phone 8 release for the phone. And we're very excited about the level of integration and the level of connection that we have with Windows 8 and how it is going to drive even more the adoption of Windows Phone based on the fact that it's going to be a very common platform where you can do multiple different things, but in a very consistent way for both the end user, the organizations, and developers as well. So it is a very exciting year for us, and we are going to be leveraging this all together with Windows Phone and Windows 8. So the rest of the talk, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually go through the things that we have done in Windows Phone 8 that basically are going to enable us to bring very interesting solutions for both consumers, developers, and enterprise organizations in the next coming years. So one of the key things is that what we are doing with Windows Phone 8, we are working to get a very common framework in between the phone and the PC. So we share the same core now. And that is very important because it's going to allow us to do things on the phone that we were not capable of doing before with a proven technology that basically is something that many of organizations, based on the NT kernel, on the Windows 8 kernel, is going to allow us to do things that we were not able to do before and bring a lot of consistency for end users, organizations, and developers as well, allowing us to have a solution that is going to take advantage of all those capabilities that we have already in Windows 8 and has been proven with the core of the Windows client for years. And then from the end user perspective, if you see, we're also bringing together very closely the user interface from the phone and with the tablet or the slate, if you will. And it's going to, again, give an opportunity for end users to take advantage of these technologies no matter in which size of a screen they're working on. And things are going to look alike very similar from one place to the other. So a lot of benefits, and this is a very key point of what we are doing with Windows Phone 8. A huge, huge investment for us has been to actually move our core that we usually had in Windows CE to the Windows client kernel and have a common share code in there in that particular area. And the good thing about this is that, as I said before, this Windows core, it's been used and proved and tested by billions of users already in the market for years now. And it brings very, very interesting benefits for multiple different areas, for consumers, for developers, and for hardware partners. And when we talk about consumers, we just don't talk about the typical consumer that will go buy a phone on a retail shop. I'm talking about consumers in general. This includes business users, typical consumer user, enterprises, etc. Everybody that would use a phone in any different type of scenario is in that particular area. And what are the benefits that this is going to bring, basically having the same core, is because it basically accelerates innovation. There is less things that you need to do, or there is more leverage on things that you do in one platform that is going to be completely usable in the other platform as well. So for consumers, we're going to add choice for them. They're going to have better choice than ever before by the fact that we're still going to have multiple offerings with multiple hardware manufacturers for Windows Phone. But again, it's going to expand to use also and to be able to move from tablet and back into phone and vice versa at any time based on the fact that all these offerings are going to be coming from similar hardware OEMs. They're going to have more apps. Why? Because the developers or the ISVs are going to be able to now develop using one common platform development in between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, And then they can target their applications into the different platforms. But the core of the development that you do is going to be something that you can reuse in the other platforms. Of course, you will need to recompile to have it on the phone or in the slate. But at the end, the development itself is something that you can actually share code in between one platform and the other. This is going to bring just more apps and quicker from something that is being developed for, say, for example, on a slate to the phone and vice versa. So the end users are going to benefit from additional apps. And then also additional experiences, because since we're building up this the phone and the PC in a way that you can actually share information in between one and the other, we're going to be enabling, and I'm going to show you a little later, we're going to be enabling ways to actually share information from one platform to the other in a very simple way. So it's going to enable all these new experiences for consumers and users and business users. For developers, it's basically about speed. They're going to be able to develop their applications quicker and targeting multiple different platforms or screen sizes, and it's going to be easy to do. Portability. I mean, you're going to be able to basically just grab code from one platform to the other and reuse that code in a very simple way. And then also increase the opportunity of having a way bigger market to go after with their applications, because now we're talking about a market that includes the slates, the desktops, and also the phones with the same type of applications that you want to create. And then for hardware partners, it's going to be key, because it also is going to drive them to have innovation by basically having competition and be able to also leverage what they know and what they have tested in other platforms and bring them into the phone. Just to give you an example, one of the key areas of the fact that we are using this common core in between the phone and the slates and the desktops is that when you optimize a driver for one particular piece of the hardware, that very same driver is the same one that you use for hardware acceleration, for example, hardware acceleration for video on the phone, on the PC, on the tablet. And you just create that driver once, and you test it and test it and test it in billions of people that use the desktop and the slate, and then it works in the phone as well. So they don't need to be creating additional drivers for one type of device and versus the other type of device, which is going to help them out innovate and differentiate from other vendors as well with a very robust solution. And it's also going to help them out with time to market. Phones are going to come quicker into market based on the fact that, again, drivers are going to be tested more thoroughly using other platforms as well, and it's going to help them out focus their time into the innovation on the hardware, not having to spend too much time into developing drivers and things like that, because it's going to be shareable between the multiple platforms. So we see that this is actually a very, very good thing for all the different angles, and is going to drive adoption of additional technologies in the future. And we're just basically setting up the foundation for what we're going to be releasing with Windows Phone 8, but imagine what we will be able to do in the future now that we have all these capabilities enabled into the phone and shareable between the phone and the PC and the desktop and the slate. So what I would like to do in the next about an hour or so is to actually go through some of the key things that we're going to be bringing into Windows Phone that are very platform related. And we're going to be sharing 8 new platform announcements that we did last week with Windows Phone 8. Something that I would like to be sure that everybody's on the same page is that this is not a full disclosure of everything Windows Phone 8 is going to have from an end user perspective, right? We're going to have many, many, many capabilities that we have not shared yet in terms of like end user capabilities and what the end user is going to be able to see on the phone. But what we would like to share with you today is some of the things that we have done on the core platform, so you can start thinking about the direction that we're taking with the phone and see some of the things that we have been doing, so you can plan ahead on things that you can be starting thinking about developing around or things like that. But again, it's going to be a high-level description of all those different 8 platform announcements, but there's way more to come later on when we announce later on in the by the end of the summer, probably, what are the new, more end-user type of capabilities that we're going to be having on the phone itself. Does that make sense? Are we all in agreement on that? Good. Okay, so the first one. The first one is that we're doing major improvements into the platform itself, thanks to this core technology that we're going to have now, which basically allows us to take advantage of the greatest hardware that is out there. So we're building up Windows Phone 8, so it supports, for example, multiple core chipsets. Okay? And this means that we're going to be supporting, because we are using the same core of Windows. Windows is already tested in more than 64 core servers and PCs, and it's being used already in those scenarios and has been tested and tested and tested. Of course, we're not expecting to have this type of core availability on phones yet, and we're optimizing for dual core type of phones with a lot of responsibility in terms of like how we impact battery usage and also performance on the phone itself. We want to be sure that we enable additional cores when it makes sense to improve really the experience on the phone itself without affecting the battery usage and those type of things. But the phone is it's engineered in a way that we can take advantage of additional cores when it makes sense to do it, and where the requirements based on the applications and based on the capabilities that we want to enable on the phone are required, we will be able to enable those things. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that we are also increasing the amount of resolutions that we're going to be enabling on the phone. And the reason why we're doing this way now is that when we first released Windows Phone 7, and we followed with Windows Phone 7.5, we very consciously decided to focus into one particular resolution. Okay, and we focus on the resolution that we have available today, which is WVGA. And the reason why we did that is to be sure that the ecosystem was going to be going after one unique direction in terms of like developing applications, and be sure that these applications were going to run with no exception in any type of Windows Phone 7 that was available in the market at that particular time. And we hold that very true. And if you see it, I mean, all the applications that we have in marketplace running all the different phones that we have available today. Now we think it's a good time now that it's been over a little bit over 20 months, where we can start enabling additional resolutions, and we can do it in a very responsible way as well. So what happens is that now we're going to be enabling WXGA, which is kind of like a high definition resolution, and also an additional one, which is 720p, which allows us to bring up additional type of resolutions into the phone. But we're doing it in a way that every single application that is running today on Windows Phone 7.5 is going to run in any of those resolutions when the new phones come out. So there's no type of improvements that you need to do into the application, so they run in those higher resolution modes. They will run perfectly. Now, of course, if you want to take advantage of the resolution specifically, then you will need to optimize your application for the higher resolution. But any application available today is going to scale perfectly well into the higher resolutions, and it's going to just work. So again, we're trying to keep that way the ecosystem, so there's no fragmentations in terms of like applications running on some and not in others well. And then the last thing that we are also improving from the hardware support perspective is that we're going to be supporting now micro SD storage on the phone, which we didn't before because we blended all the storage in just one place. But now all the phones are going to come with the capability to add a micro SD to increase the amount of storage that you have on the phone. And again, we're doing it in a very responsible way, because we wanted to do it right. We wanted to do it in a way that is easy and very transparent for the end user, what they can do and cannot do with the storage. So what we're doing is that we're optimizing the storage specifically to store photos, music, and videos. And also, so you can install applications from the removable storage. This does not mean that you can install applications in the removable storage. And I'll talk about enterprise, and this is more like for an enterprise application distribution scenario that I'll talk about in a second. But think about it as a way for actually distributing applications for users if you are in an enterprise scenario, in an enterprise type scenario. And I'll talk about that in more detail. Okay? But the important thing is that we are using storage in that way so you can release the amount of storage that you have natively on your phone for installing your applications and things like that, and leave the removable storage for the things that are usually consuming most of your space, like music, like videos, and like photos. So that way we're kind of like breaking that apart from the internal storage from the phone itself. So those are the areas of improvements that we have done in terms of like hardware, latest hardware support on Windows Phone 8. Now, the next area is Internet Explorer 10. So we started this with Windows Phone 7.5. In Windows Phone 7, we had kind of like a hybrid Internet Explorer support. It was a combination in between Internet Explorer 7 and 8, and we had that in Windows Phone 7. In Windows Phone 7.5, one of the big improvements that we did is that we included IE9 completely. It was not a hybrid. It was not a port of IE9 from the PC to the phone. It was the same IE9 that we had on the PC, we had it on the phone, in Windows Phone 7.5. With Windows Phone 8, we're continuing on to that strategy, and IE10, the exact same IE10 that we have on Windows 8, is going to be the browser that we're going to have in Windows Phone 8. So that's really important for us, because it's going to allow us to leverage some of the capabilities that the Internet Explorer team is working for Internet Explorer on the desktop and put them on the PC. One of them, which is, I think, something very interesting and important, is that we are going to be bringing new capabilities that the Internet Explorer team is building up for Windows PCs, that is anti-phishing technologies, basically to try to identify when you are going into a website that is a risk website and is trying to actually grab your information to do something wrong with that information. We are storing, and the Internet Explorer team is working into building up technologies into Internet Explorer, so once that you are going into a website like that, it's detected, and it protects you from actually providing or accessing sites that are too risk for you to access and then potentially include malware into your phone or in your PC. And all those technologies are going to happen and are going to be on Internet Explorer 10 in Windows Phone 8 natively. And we are not doing anything other than just grabbing that capabilities from the PC. And as you will see, if we're able to demo later on, because I don't know if we still have Wi-Fi working on here, and there is a little bit of a trouble with internet access today, but it has a very similar behavior in terms of like what you see on the PC versus what you see on the phone. The other thing that we have done in Internet Explorer is that we are improving the scripting capabilities of the browser on the phone, and it's giving us the capabilities of being able to, for example, perform JavaScript 4 times faster than we were able to perform in Windows Phone 7.5, which was actually very, very good comparing to other competing platforms in the market today, so we're taking that into the next level. And then for HTML5, we're also duplicating the performance that we have on the phone comparing to what we had in Windows Phone 7.5. And we're also adding additional support for, say, for example, touch events on HTML5 applications in the browser itself. So all those things we're bringing down into the phone, and we're going to be taking advantage of all these things. And then we're happy to share some of the SunSpider scores that we have in against competitors. And this, for example, is how fast we are in terms of milliseconds compared to the competition. And this is in milliseconds, of course, and the smaller, the better, because it's the less time that you are taking to load pages with a specific JavaScript or HTML5 type of content. And we have way better capabilities than the latest two Android devices and even an iPhone 4S running with iOS 6 beta. So we have a very, very interesting value proposition in terms of like how fast the browser can execute HTML5 and JavaScript on the browser on the phone itself. And this is still using actually prototype devices on Windows Phone, not final devices that are going to be shipping with Windows Phone 8. Now, the third area is what we call native code, but it's really support for C and C++ and be able to port a code from one platform to the other really easily. So we are building support for native code now in the Windows Phone, and I think if you guys have been working with Windows Phone before, this is a very interesting value proposition as well, because before it was everything managed code, right? And now we're going to be giving access to you to develop applications using C or C++, and also something that is going to help us out to use common platforming between Windows and Windows Phone 8 as well. The other interesting thing is that it's going to allow us to have access to DirectX on the phone. So if you are if developers are creating very, very interesting games using DirectX, we fully support that on the phone as well. And you're going to be seeing very, very exciting games coming on for the platform now that we are going to be having support for that. Also, it's going to allow us to reutilize code that probably developers have been using to create applications or games in other platforms and reuse those portions of the code back into Windows Phone, allowing us to have a better time to market into when applications are available in our marketplace that are using that particular code, and then just optimizing for the type of screen size and the specific APIs for display that we have on the phone in Windows Phone 8. So I think this is going to be a very interesting capability that we're going to be bringing into market with Windows Phone 8, and it's going to allow allow us to increase the opportunity for additional applications in the marketplace and also game type of applications there. Now, in the other improvement that we're doing in the area of hardware support is support for NFC. So we're going to have full support for NFC in Windows Phone 8. And the interesting thing is that it's going to allow us to not just have NFC support for NFC cards or NFC capabilities that you can have in magazines or codes in posters or things like that, but also it's going to allow us to communicate and create new scenarios of communications with, say, for example, tablets. And I'll show you a little bit of that later on during the demo. And we think it's a great segue for the next topic, which is also full support for wallet. We're going to have a great and a very complete wallet solution on Windows Phone that is going to be shipped natively on the phone. And this wallet is a wallet that is going to be very extensive and is going to take advantage, of course, of NFC. And the way and the things that we're going to be able to do there is to basically track, basically use just that wallet as the way that you would be using your physical wallet with you for any type of things. So what are the type of things that we store in our wallet? We store credit cards. We store probably membership cards. We store coupons or deals or things like that we got from a newspaper. All those things we are building up the wallet into the phone so you can use them and you can integrate with applications that are providing that type of information as well that could be related to the wallet. So we're going to be able to store their credit cards and debit cards, loyalty and membership cards. We can access save deals. So for example, if we find a deal on using the browser in internet and then we want to save that deal back into the phone, back into your wallet, you can save it in there and then use it later either on an online website or on a physical retailer if we go there and just show the QR code that we have on the deal store on the phone. So all those type of things you're going to be able to do. And it also supports the concept of NFC tap to pay. So if you have your credit card stored into your phone and you have a secure element on the phone, you're going to be able to actually tap into a cashier and be able to pay without even taking your credit card out or things like that. So it's really replacing your wallet. Now, the way that we have implemented Tap to Pay using NFC is that we are optimizing for having the secure element on the SIM card from the mobile operator, instead of having the NFC secure element on the hardware itself of the phone. We think it's a better way to go because that way the secure element is portable and you can move it from multiple different phones and continue having your secure element with you. And it doesn't tie you up into one particular phone because then you can move it. Also, it's the preferred method that most likely most mobile operators are going to want to have the secure element to be procured. So that way we are aligning our strategies with what most of the mobile operators want to do in terms of like how to implement a secure element. So something that we can announce today is that the first mobile operator that is going out with a solution at the time we launch Windows Phone 8 in Europe is going to be Orange. So they're going to be having a solution with a secure element on the SIM card that will allow you to have the capabilities of tap to play using NFC. But the interesting approach that we're taking with the wallet and with NFC is that everything I just described, you can do without even having the secure element. So if for some reason you don't have it yet, the only thing that you won't be able to do is to do the tap to pay. But you can still store your credit cards. You can use your credit cards to actually make payments on websites using your phone itself and all those different type of things. The tap to pay portion is only for actually doing the physical transaction if you're paying, if you want to pay with your phone at a cashier in a physical place. So all those different type of things are going to be enabled without even having the secure element on your phone. Only if you want to tap to pay, that's the area where the secure element is required, and it's going to be done through the secure element being on the SIM card. And that's just an example. I'll show you a little bit later, a little bit better how those capabilities work on the phone. But that's how you move between deals and having your membership cards and your credit cards. The other area that we're doing also work together with Nokia is that and the other platform capability that we're adding into the phone is that we are working together with Nokia to include all their mapping technology embedded into Windows Phone 8. So it's going to be available there. That is going to allow us to do great things like, for example, have a way better coverage in terms of like mapping data using their Navtech data into Windows Phone 8, and it's going to be available in Windows Phone 8 for all phones. We're going to also have support natively on the phone of offline maps. So you're going to be able to download the maps of the region that you're particularly wanting to have and have that into your phone, so you don't need to be using your data plan to be contacting to be able to see what the data is for that, or the map is for that particular area that you are at one particular point. Also, the other interesting thing is that the APIs for map controls are going to be available for you, for developers to create applications using that. So it's not just for the mapping application that we have on the phone, but you're going to be able to have that those controls available for applications that you might want to create using the offline maps or using all the different type of data that you have available through the NavTech solution with Nokia. And then also we are going to allow, now that we have this partnership with them and the technology embedded into the phone, to have a turn-by-turn solution that is native on the phone. Of course, this doesn't mean that there's not going to be other turn-by-turn solutions available through Marketplace, but you're going to have one that is embedded into the phone and you can start using it with the offline maps and all those different type of things. So this is another area of platform enhancements that you can see it's going to be coming into the phone, and you can use it with multiple different applications. The other area where we are doing a lot of investment from the platform perspective is as well our business capabilities, right? And as I said before, it is interesting to see how people that is using our phone in all the different scenarios, in consumer scenarios and in business scenarios, they see the capabilities about business productivity that we enable with our integration with Exchange, with our integration with SharePoint, integration with Link, and all these different type of things. But we've been hearing loud and clear from many enterprise organizations that we needed to do something more in order for them to support Windows Phone in enterprise environments. We think with Windows Phone 8, we're achieving those things. And the reason why we didn't before is because we were trying to actually do it into the right way. And one of the key things that we wanted to do is to take advantage of the core, common core capabilities that we're going to have now with having the same core as Windows. So that is going to allow us to have encryption and secure boot into the phone. So the phone is going to be fully encryptable now, and it's going to be done in the similar way that is done on Windows 8 as well. So it's very familiar the way that you encrypt the phone and fully encrypt the phone of how you do it with the tablets and how you will do it, how you do it today with desktop PCs as well. So it uses the same technology, it uses the same concept, it is hardware accelerator based, so it's easier to actually manage the encryption on the phone. And also we had Secure Boot before, we're improving our Secure Boot capabilities as well to provide a better solution in that area also. The other area is LOB app deployment. So today, for up until Windows Phone 7.5, the only way to distribute applications into a phone, a Windows phone, was to do it through Marketplace, correct? We needed to publish those applications into Marketplace. In Windows Phone 7.5, we introduced a method where you could actually publish your applications in Marketplace, but make them private. So they wouldn't allow anybody who was like just browsing the marketplace or searching the marketplace find those applications unless you had the deep link where that application was sitting to be able to grab that application and install it into the organization. That was a little bit of a workaround for the fact of not having enterprise-friendly type of deployment of applications. And it's been working relatively well, but it was not acceptable by all type of organizations. Now with Windows Phone 8, we're going to have line-of-business application deployment using giving you the capability for deploying those applications without having to publish them into Marketplace. So the way that you do this is that you just basically have applications living in either the cloud or in internal servers that you might have, a SharePoint server or a file server, and then you deploy a certificate and a token into the phone, and only the phones that have that information in it are able to reach the share where those applications are living and install those applications into the phone. So that way, you don't need to actually certify the application through Marketplace, et cetera, et cetera. And you remember when we were talking about the SD card support for deploying applications? That's the other method that you could use. You can put the application on an SD card, but only the phones that have that certificate or that token installed into the phone are going to be able to install the application from that SD card into the phone. So that way, we are preventing that you cannot sideload any type of application, only line of business applications that have been certified by the organization where I'm working on, and that I have the credentials to be able to install that application into the phone itself. Any other type of end user type of application will always have to be go through Marketplace certification. Only enterprise applications through this process are going to be able to be deployed in this way and capability. Then additional to that, we're also adding now support for device management. So you're going to be able to manage your phones in an enterprise-friendly way, be able to, again, manage the applications that you deploy into the phone, get reporting about what you have deployed into those phones, and do all those type of management capabilities that you require for supporting phones into the enterprise. So we're adding that as well. And then in addition, of course, we're continuing focusing our investment into having the most common Office applications available in the phone to increase productivity of users. And we are going to keep refining and improving the capabilities that we have on the Office apps that we have in the phone. That includes Outlook. That includes the calendar and the contact management of the piece. We added task management as well with the latest release on Windows Phone 7.5, and that's going to carry on for Windows Phone 8. We added support for Link, and I'll show you a couple of those things that we're doing there with Link as well. So Link we're going to continue supporting. And also, of course, we support fully Excel, Word, PowerPoint, editing, and all those type of things, integration with Exchange for collaboration. All those capabilities that we have been working already for Windows Phone 7.5 are going to continue in Windows Phone 8. So now we're just making the phone way more enterprise-friendly in the way that we manage, we secure it, and then we deploy line-of-business applications into the phone itself. And then the additional thing that we're doing with Windows Phone is focusing into our start screen and being able to... what we have done is that the start screen on Windows Phone is one of our marquee features, one of our marquee capabilities. And we've been... a lot of the differentiation that we bring in Windows Phone comes from our start screen. And you can see that every time that you see on a start screen, it represents really, really how you are, right? I mean, and it's very difficult to find two different phones with a even similar or close by start screen one from the other, because it automatically customizes it with your own photos, with your own music, with your own contacts, and it comes alive in a very interesting way that it makes it very, very personal. And we're taking our start screen to the next level. And for that, I would like to show you a video that I want to... Do we have the audio here out, right? That explains you a little bit what we're doing with the start screen there. Oops. Is it the audio on from this one? From the PC here. Yeah. Is not? Oh, here.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Should we good now?
It starts with a tile that's special, that's alive. Live tiles are the heart and soul of a Windows phone. It's a simple, elegant thing, but so powerful, and no other phone has them. We know that our users really fall in love with their Windows phones, and the biggest reason is that live tiles make the technology disappear, turning their phone into a unique fingerprint that precisely reflects each and every one of them. Live tiles are also the face of Windows Phone. And now that very pretty face is about to become drop-dead gorgeous. And a lot more personal. Introducing the new Windows Phone Start Screen. We're putting people in total control of their tiles. Now, not only can they pin the stuff they love right on a live tile, they can also set the size of all those tiles, whether each is a person or an app. If someone's really into text and SMS, they can make the messaging tile the full size so they can see texts without opening the app. If someone's not a heavy email user, they can make that tile small and put it a little out of the way. And for all those power users with tons of apps they use every day, they can make all of those tiles really small so they reduce the amount of scrolling on the screen. No other phone can do anything like this. The result is that Windows Phone is even more personal than ever before. So now people won't just be buying a phone. It'll be Tom, the music lover, getting a Tom, the music lover phone. And Laura, the social butterfly, getting a social butterfly phone. It'll be Anna, the bookworm, getting a bookworm phone. And Dave, the sports nut, getting a sports nut phone. It's the best of what Windows Phone already is. Made even better.
Great. So that is a new start screen that we have in here. And as you can see, we've made it very, very more customizable. And one of the reasons why we call this a platform enhancement is because, as you can see, tiles now, they can have multiple different sizes. And there are a lot of things that you can do now as an application developer, whether you are developing applications for your company or developing applications to sell them to enterprises with these new live tiles. And I'll show you some of those examples of things that you can do with the phone in a few minutes. What I would like to do now is to actually show you a sneak peek of the demonstration of what I was mentioning earlier today. And unfortunately, I'm going to have a couple of caveats here because, as you probably know and have noticed, we don't have internet access today. So it just went down like a few minutes ago, and unfortunately, there's no way that we can show some of the things that I wanted to show you that required us to be connected. But we'll try to do the best we can here with what we have. Just switch my machine here. There we go. That's my very busy desktop there. Just a second. Okay. So what you're seeing there on the screen is my phone here. Let me just... That's my lock screen there that you are probably familiar already from Windows Phone 7.5. What I would like to do is actually focus more on to what we have in Windows Phone 8. So this is my screen here in Windows Phone 8. And this is my new start screen. And the good thing about the new start screen is that I can make it really, really mine. And as you can see here, I have multiple different live tiles, some for my phone. And as you can see now also, we are able to have, for example, offset live tiles, like the one that I have here for my phone and the one that I have here for PeopleHub. They are not aligned one and the other. I mean, I can move them whatever I want. But then the other interesting thing is that, for example, say that I'm more like a text message type of person. I can just click and hold this one. And as you can see now, I have an option there to make it bigger. I can get rid of it, but I can also make it bigger. And it shows me more information now. It shows me information about the text message that I received. And I can make that one bigger in there because I'm big into text messaging. Maybe the people hub, I want to make it smaller. So I can make it smaller in here and then move it up. So it's really easy for me to customize it this way. And the other thing that I do a lot is I want to have access to my calendar. So I can just click and hold my calendar, and I want to make it small and then move it up here. So now I have multiple different ways to customize my lifestyle, my start screen, without having to modify it a lot. Let me just see if I have here this other phone where I have a little bit more of information. So here you are. See, super secret password that now everybody knows. And there you go. So I have another phone here with a more full of information stuff. And as you can see, here I have my People Hub. I have multiple applications here. Again, as I said before, I can make my text message a little bit bigger and show my messaging in there. And as soon as I get a text message, I'll get notifications right there, and I can see the specifics of the email. Something that I would like to say is that this is a prototype phone built up by Nokia. So we are not. This is not an idea that we're going to be selling. It's an engineering phone that just happens to have all the different ins of what we need for actually developing into a phone. But it's not a phone that is going to be available in market for purchase. But the other thing that I would like to highlight is that, and we didn't talk about this, I hinted about it a little bit, was the fact that the phone basically has the capability. Windows Phone 8 is going to run. Is designed to run. It's designed to run applications that were built for Windows Phone 7.5. So those applications that are in the marketplace today, Windows Phone 8 has been designed to actually run those applications without a problem. So as you can see here, for example, I already loaded a couple of applications, like, for example, AccuWeather. I have an SkyDrive application here. I have an application from Twitter. And all these applications that are coming from the marketplace today, and they're running on Windows Phone 8 without a problem. So that's the way that we're designing the phone. So all those applications that are available in the marketplace today and that are going to keep increasing the number of applications in marketplace before we release Windows Phone 8 are going to run in Windows Phone 8 at any particular time. Now, something interesting that you can do with the lifestyles as well, and something that, for example, some of our partners are doing with their early investments into creating some of these applications, is that, for example, here I have an application from Nokia, for example, Nokia Drive. And you see that I have it here on a small lifestyle here, a little one. So if I say, for example, want to expand that one up, I can make it bigger. And as you can see now, when I make it bigger, it actually becomes a lifestyle that actually shows me where I am on the map. So those type of capabilities are things that you're going to be able to do with the lifestyles. Also, I can, for example, make it now medium size, and now you can see that it automatically readjusts the lifestyle to show information in a way that makes sense for that size of the lifestyle. So it's easy for me to actually manage those type of things. I can actually make it smaller again, so I keep the integrity on my screen here, and I can move things around very, very easily. The other interesting thing that we have here is that we have the capabilities as well to be able to provide new set of notifications here that you're going to be able to show up information in the different size of the lifestyles in a different way. So that's actually something that is very interesting as well to show. Now, the other thing that I wanted to show you was the browser and the interconnection that we have with anti-phishing sites. But unfortunately, as I said before, we don't have access to internet right now, so it's going to be difficult to be able to show you guys that. But something that I would like to show you then is some of the other capabilities that we talked about, like, for example, the capabilities of NFC. So what I'm going to show you is this card. This card is from John Scovern. He is one of the program managers that is actually working on the NFC support on Windows Phone. So something that I would like you to pay attention is that, of course, this business card has an NFC chip on it with information about the card itself. So now with Windows Phone, we fully support that. And the only thing I need to do is just to get the card close here. Actually, I have to put the cover. Let me just put the cover on the phone. So the only thing that I need to do is I need to just put the card next to it. And you see that it's actually telling me that I want to receive content. I accept that. It's showing me now, you see, John Scovern card. So I can save it now here on my phone, and no problem, I can have it on my phone, and then automatically it's going to synchronize with Outlook. So it's very easy for me to capture this type of information. Something else that I could do is I could actually start building up scenarios where we are actually connecting the phone with a tablet. Remember we mentioned about how the tablet looks like very similar to the phone. So let me show you now. What I'm going to do first, I'm just going to go to any of the contacts that I have in here, right? I can go into the contact information of what I have in here. I can open up one particular contact here. Let's say, for example, I'm going to open up April's contact here, right? So I have her contact here. And the only thing I need to do is just to say share contact. And now it's asking me if I want to share this to confirm. And once that I confirm, it's now giving me the options of how I want to share this information. I can share it through Outlook or send it in an email attachment as we've done before. My different accounts that I have in there, I can do it through Bluetooth. But I can also do tap and send. So if I just click on tap and send, it's telling me how to actually send this information into other device. So what I can do now is I can just go and switch here for a second to my tablet. And as you can see, I'm borrowing up here the tablet that we had from Jovel Fiori from our announcement last week. So I'm going to just unlock this, and it's basically eye, and mouth. So now I unlock the tablet here. And you can see on the phone that I still have that notification that says just tap and call with the other device. So I just do that. And you see I receive a notification now on the tablet that says that I'm receiving a contact. So it's that easy about sending the contact from one place to the other. I'm just going to dismiss it for now. I don't want to show that necessarily. But then the other thing that I want to do now is show you how, for example, even though we don't have internet yet here, I can show you, say, for example, that I want to share something now the other way around, right? Because I was talking about the different scenarios that we're going to enable. So say, for example, that I go to a browser into a session. Of course, it's telling me that I'm not connected because we don't have internet. But imagine this is a page, right? The only thing I need to do now on the tablet is just swipe to the side and then say share. And then say devices, because I want to share this into devices. And as you can see, it's the same idea. It's tap and send. It's the same command. So I just click on tap and send, and it's going to ask me to connect into the other device. So before I do that, let me actually switch so you can see what happens on the phone. Back into my phone here. Okay, so now you see the phone there. I'm in tap and send here. Again, I just connect them one to the other. And the phone is telling me that I'm receiving content. So if I want to receive that, so I just click accept. And it'll take me directly into the browser to the exact same page that I was loading up into the phone. And as you can see, it looks like we got internet back. And as you can see, the site that I was actually sending from the phone to the PC, from the PC to the phone is a site that is a suspicious site. So we're using the iType phishing technology that I mentioned before earlier today on the browser, and you can see that it's basically blocking that site the same way that it would have blocked the site on the PC as well. So we're protecting the people that are using the phone. Some of the some of the indicators that we have today is that one of the the fastest growing issues on the internet right now is phishing attempts using phones, because people in the PCs are becoming more aware. They can see the URL. It's easier to identify when you're going to a site that is not the site that you were trying to go, right? Sometimes when a bank sends you this email that says you need to validate your username and password because you have been attacked by somebody, and they send you to a mock site where they're actually just trying to get your username and password. And most of these people on the PCs, they're aware of these things, and they're not doing these things anymore. But in the phone, it's harder to find. So it's interesting to be able to have this technology protecting people now that they're doing more transactions on their phone when they're trying to connect to internet. So again, this is some of that technology that we're adopting from the PC from IE10 on the browser. And I want to see if I have here some of the favorites that I wanted to show you. Now that I know that I have internet here. Okay, so that's a little bit of what we have on the browser as well. I wanted to show you how you use NFC to connect from one place to the other and be able to do those different type of things from one place to the other. The other thing that I wanted to show you, and the other area that we have been doing a lot of emphasis as well, it's in the area of enterprise support, as I mentioned before. So it's difficult to demonstrate, but the phone is, of course, fully encrypted, right? We talked about encryption and the support of encryption on the phone. But then the other concept of something that we are going to be able to do with Windows Phone is a concept of something that we call a Company Hub. And Company Hub is an application that you can actually deploy and manage through a management server and push it out into the phone, so you can have it on the phone and then manage the enterprise identity that you have on the phone itself, right? So what I'm going to show you now is just an example of a concept that we're working internally at Microsoft for a company have for us Microsoft employees, okay? So if I go here, and actually let me show you this one that I have on my phone here. So I don't know if you can see that. Yeah, you can. So if I go here to the company hub from Microsoft IT, as you can see here, I have access to this application that has been pushed into my phone through the management server. So what I do is I register my phone into that management server through a control panel that we have on the phone. And once I register to that server, the server automatically pushes down into the phone a application, this application. And I can use this application to then have access to other applications that are enterprise apps that I want to deploy into the phone. Here, for example, what we have here is a list of the applications that are enterprise apps that I use internally here at Microsoft. So I have an IT showcase, a library application for internal Microsoft books, and then something we call Office Talk, which is to basically communicating between Microsoft employees and have conversations in there. It's like a social, it's an internal Microsoft social network. Then I have here applications that are available for me to install internally. These are not applications that are published into the marketplace. So I can just have this and be a simulation of a marketplace for internal applications and have quick access to those applications here. Then I have news, and this is a feed reader that is actually pushing news that are internal Microsoft news for me to be aware of what's going on in the company. And then here I have, of course, an alert center from IT, right? They want to know when there is an IT ticket there with a problem or something that is having problem with the with any particular service that IT hosts, so I know what's going on and I can open my own tickets here and then follow up what's going on with my tickets. And then next, I can actually see my own profile. We use, of course, SharePoint completely, and in SharePoint we can actually update our own photographs and things like that. So I can just go there and change my own photographs using my camera on the phone, and you know, keep my social status in SharePoint internally for the organization right from here. I can also see I can change my status in Link and see if I'm busy or doing whatever. It says that I'm busy doing a presentation right now. My next meeting, and it shows where I am right now, which is I'm in Amsterdam. So it's basically just tracking my location based on the on the GPS that I have on the map. And then I can have access, quick access to my team members, to my HR contacts, and all those different type of things. So I can do that from here. So the other interesting thing that we can do from here is, for example, installing these applications. Remember that I mentioned these applications are now living on our internal file share. We don't need to publish these applications into Marketplace. Say, for example, that I want to install these applications for time off, right? This is a place where I can actually log the hours that I'm of the office to track my vacation. I can just click on that application, and what it does, it takes me to the place, and as you can see, we have Mimic, the rest of the marketplace, even though I'm not going to marketplace, just to keep a consistency on the user interface for the users, right? But this application is actually living on a file share internally from Microsoft that is managed by us. It's not in marketplace. It has not gone through the through certification. But you can change this user this UI for being whatever you want to do it in your own company. So then, what I can do is I can just install the application from there. And once that I install it, it automatically will take me to my apps section, and it's going to install the application right there because it's an internal application that I want to have into my own place in there. So it's easy for me to have access to that application, and it's an internal application that is managed internally. And if I can basically manage those applications remotely from that enterprise management server. So again, this is just an example of a concept that Microsoft IT is working right now to try to come into our own market. As I said before, this company hub concept is something that we're going to be providing as templates with examples that you can actually use and customize to create your own company hubs in your own organizations, and then use the, you know, the management servers to deploy these applications and to deploy these additional type of functionality for your users in Windows Phone 8 within your organization. So let me just go back here. And then the last thing that I would like to show you, so we talked about the browser with the anti-phishing, we talked about the live tiles, we talked about those different type of things, we talked about NFC support. NFC support is a very good segue to go into the concept of a wallet that we were talking about before, remember? So I can just go here to the wallet and then open it up. Let me see if I'm connected in this phone. I don't think I'm connected on this phone to the Wi-Fi. Let me try to this one. So I think this one was connected now. Okay. So I can go to wallet here and then open it up. And then this is a concept of wallet and what we have here on the wallet. So as I said before, here I can use the wallet application, which will come again. It's what we call our wallet hub. It's going to come in every single Windows phone. And I can start adding here multiple different type of information. I have here my Advantage card. I have different credit cards that I have with Chase in this particular case. My Delta account, my Fandango. I have some Groupon, my PayPal account, my San Francisco Public Library account, and all those different type of things. What I can do here, and the interesting thing on the way that we are building up the wallet, is that the wallet is completely extensible, so it can connect to other applications that you might have developed for the phone. Okay? So say, for example, that I open up in my wallet the view of my Chase Premier Plus card. So I can just open that up, and in my wallet, it's showing me, for example, what my balance is, the account information. I can swipe and see, for example, transactions, and I can see all the latest transactions that I have on that card. But then also it's showing me information here about, for example, that I have a quick pay request from Kim Abercrombie. I have to transfer money to her, and that she has done that on the application. If I just click on that, it's going to deep link automatically and directly into the Chase application. I don't need to actually go open up the Chase application. It's going to go directly from my wallet to the app, from the Chase app. And I can go there directly to the place where that to-do list is, where I need to actually make the transfer to Kim. And I can just make the transfer from here, now sitting on my Chase application outside the wallet. But I went there directly from the wallet, you see? So it's connected to other applications that I might have on my phone. And we have the extensibility to be able to do those type of things. Other things that we can do in our wallet, of course, is to be able to use the wallet. Oops, got out of it. Is to be able to use my wallet for, say, for example, transactions, right? So say, for example, that I have here my settings on the wallet. So let me open up my settings. And something that I can do is I can, say, for example, set up a PIN. So I can have a PIN specifically for the wallet. So I can, if I want to do a transaction using the wallet, I have to use the PIN. So I'm just enter a super secret PIN code now, 1111. So I'm setting up a PIN for my wallet. Because there's some people who don't want to put a PIN into the whole phone, but they want to put a PIN on the wallet. So you can have those two things independently, one from the other. Okay? So now I have a wallet, and I want to say that I also want to use the PIN to protect app and music purchases. So I'll just do that. And then what I want to do now is to go back here and then go back into my start screen. And I'm just going to open up this application from Inrix. Inrix is a very good partner of us who has been working with us very closely to come up with applications for Windows Phone. They basically track traffic and predict traffic so you can see how long it's going to take you to go from one place to the other. So this is an application that they are building up as a concept as well for Windows Phone 8. And what it is basically an application that allows you to predict traffic and do what you need to do to get from one place to the other. But the interesting thing that I want to show you here in terms of a wallet usage is that this application allows you in-app purchase. Okay? So here, for example, as you can see on the top left area, it says that it's the Inrix version that they have. They have an Inrix standard version that is free, and they have an Inrix Pro version that is paid. So if I want to actually upgrade to the paid version, I just need to go here and say that I want to upgrade to Inrix Pro. Click on that, and it automatically goes into my wallet, because it's going to use the payment that I want to use from my wallet itself. It identifies that it's a transaction. I need to enter the PIN code that I just assigned for my wallet transactions, 1111. And there you go. It's asking me if I want to purchase the application, and it's telling me that I have enabled, as by default, my Chase credit card payment with inside my wallet as the payment method that I want to use. So I just click on buy, and it's basically thank you for your purchase. Inrix Pro is now enabled. So I go OK. And as you can see, now it changed from Inrix to Inrix Pro, because now I have the Pro version of the application installed onto my phone. So that's how easy now you can do in-phone transactions just using the wallet. OK. So now another example of how we can use a wallet, as I said before, is to basically track your deals. So deals is a very interesting area here as well. So if I go here back into my wallet, you saw that, for example, I have here, I need to enter my PIN code that I enable now. So I'm in my wallet now. And you can see here that I've been saving some of the deals that I have in here, right? So I can, for example, open up this Brownies hardware deal. So I can see the deal there What is the benefit of it? Is basically that I can buy $30 of hardware in that hardware store for only $15. So they're basically giving you a $15 discount for a $30 purchase. And what they have here is they have the description of the coupon, the details on the coupon, the terms, and all those type of things, and also the barcode. So the interesting thing is that you can just go to the store and then show the barcode here, scan it through the thing, and then you're going to get the discount automatically from the phone. So all those different kinds of things we're also supporting on the wallet is not just a payment method. It's something that you can use for everything that you are thinking about using on the wallet. I can, of course, say, for example, that I want to use this coupon right away, or I want to have it handy. So I can always pin it to start, and now it's going to be a coupon that I have. The coupon is pinned directly into my start screen. I can make it smaller as well if I want, and then it's easier for me to actually find out that coupon at any particular time. Now, to go into a more realistic scenario, how would I get a coupon, or how would I get these type of deals, let me just open up the wallet again and say, for example, that I know that when I go back home from the event in Amsterdam, I'm going to stop by and visit family in San Francisco. So say, for example, that I know that I'm going to be doing that, I'm going to be there, and then I'm probably going to be swinging by the San Francisco Public Library to grab something in there. So I can go and open up my San Francisco Public Library membership card, so I can just go there and scan the barcode to actually have access to take out books from there. And say that after I pick up the book, I want to go and have dinner somewhere or have a quick coffee or something while I'm reading my book. So the only thing I need to do is I just want to map the address, and it's going to take me to the map where I can see where that specific where the library is. And then I can use my capabilities of local scout to see what else is around there. And this is something that we had before in Windows Phone, and we're going to keep expanding when we have support for Nokia Maps in multiple different regions and things like that. So I can see here all the different restaurants that are around that particular area. I can sort by distance. And also something that I can do is I can filter and say that I only want to see places that are offering a deal. So I can filter by that, and I can see that, for example, Cafe Sapore, which is around that area, it's it's 0.0 miles away from it, from the public library, has a deal. I can click on it, and I can open up now the card for Cafe Sapore. And this is something that we already had in Windows Phone 7.5. But something that is new now is that now we also have access for the deals. So I can see the deal here, which is basically they are giving beer for $3.29 on tap and house wine by the glass. So I can just click on that deal, and I can see now the deal coming from that particular restaurant that I'm going to go this weekend after I got my book. Now that I have it in there, the only thing that I need to do is I need to say that I want to share this. I can send it to somebody else. I can do tap and send it as an NFC, as I showed you before. Or else, something that I can do is I can add it for my wallet to use it later. So I can just tap on it, and I say, I'm going to put it on my wallet. And then from now on, when I go back into my wallet, you'll see that let me go here. Now I had three coupons or three deals. Now two deals I had before. Now I have a Cafe Sapore here, so I can have quick access to that deal anytime that I want. So it's easy for me to have access to that information. So that's a little bit of a summary of some of these things that I talked about before. Hopefully you guys are excited about it. Let me go back into the presentation to show you some of the additional things that we're doing with the platform. Is that good? Was that good? All right. Let's go back to the PC. Okay. So other developer platform improvements that we have done that I just want to talk about, because it's important for you guys to be aware of these things, is that we're also adding additional components for multitasking and background processing for a specific process that we have on the phone. The first one that we think is very interesting is the capabilities for voice over IP and video chat. So this is very interesting because what is going to happen is that we are opening up the APIs so voice over IP vendors can use our existing call UI for their own processes. So if you receive a voice over IP call, it'll use the same interface that we use to actually receive calls. So for example, in this particular case, so imagine what we can do with Skype, right? You can receive a Skype call, but it'll look exactly the same as if you are receiving a call that is calling, it's a regular call on your phone. It'll open the same UI, it'll open the same thing, it'll still go run into the background. It integrates with the built-in features. And when you answer the call, it'll take you to the Skype app, where you can continue and then you do the video call and all those different type of things. But the way that you receive the call is exactly the same way that you receive the call when you are receiving a regular voice call from your mobile operator provider. And then you can go into the application itself. And then also, if you minimize or you go to the start screen, it'll still show up on the top the banner that tells you that you are in the middle of a call, because we use exactly the same user interface for those type of things. So you can actually have advantage of having this communication without losing any of the experience that you have when you're using the phone for a regular call. And the voice over IP call continues on the background. And then the other interesting thing is that this is also going to become available for developers. So we're, of course, building a great integration with Skype, but any developer of a voice over IP call can use this type of infrastructure to create their own voice over IP applications and use these same capabilities on the phone. Second thing is that imagine what we're going to be able to do with Link as well, because that's the other thing that we're going to be using this to create those type of solutions. So again, I mean, this is something that we're very excited about bringing up into the platform, and what you're going to be seeing is a better integration in the way that you manage regular calls versus voice over IP calls in the phone. The other interesting thing is that since we're using the native phone dialer capabilities, everything that you use as an accessory to actually manage your calls, so Bluetooth in your car, it's going to work automatically because it's using the same vehicle that we use for the regular calls. And the developer doesn't need to do anything about it other than just using the same the API for using the native dialer on the phone. So that way, you don't need to think about it. I mean, it's going to work exactly the same with your Bluetooth headset as it works for a regular call. That's just another example. Then the other area for multitasking that we're enabling on the phone is background execution for background location. So now what is going to happen is that if you are on a GPS application, and if you, say, receive a call or go to a different application, the GPS application is going to continue running on the background. So you don't lose your location, and you're going to still be receiving the voice, the turn-by-turn voice alerts of when you need to make a turn, even if you are not running on the foreground the GPS application. So this is another area that it was interesting for me to actually show that we are adding as additional services that can run on the background for Windows Phone 8. And then, as I showed you before, this is the example that I show on the Company Hub. Company Hub is another example of things that we're going to be delivering as templates, so you can actually grab that and use it to create your own Company Hub with your own needs and be able to deploy that in a managed and enterprise-friendly way throughout the organization. Now, later this summer, we're going to be releasing the new SDK for Windows Phone 8 with the developer tools. So that is something that I wanted to let you guys know that is going to become available later on during the Northern Hemisphere summer. I'm from Peru, so sometimes I get confused because summer for us is in December. But that's what we're going to be releasing towards the end of this summer, so I will say in the next few months. Now, a little bit of an ecosystem update. Let's see how we are doing on time, a couple of minutes. These are the manufacturers that are going to be releasing phones in Windows Phone 8 in our first wave of release at the end of this calendar year. So this doesn't mean that these are the only ones that are going to have Windows Phone 8 in the market. These are going to be the ones that are going to be releasing first on our first wave of phones. And they are all going to be using the Qualcomm chipset. So there's still going to be this common infrastructure for all the Windows phones, so we keep the ecosystem very, very structured. So we have phones from Nokia, Huawei, Samsung, and HTC coming this holiday season or towards the end of this calendar year. It's going to be available in 50 languages, And apps are going to be available in more than 180 countries, which is 50 languages is double from what we have today on Windows Phone 7.5, and is more of the languages available in iOS, for example, today. So we're going to have a real fully international coverage, and it's going to be available for applications distribution in more than 180 countries. So we're really expanding our footprint of availability of Windows Phone across throughout the world. And the way that we do localization is real localization. It's not just a translation of the phone. We really take advantage of the localization efforts that we do in other products in Microsoft, and we do localization in the right way, basically taking, say, for example, in Arabic or some of these other double bicolor character languages. It actually works very well on the way that it is localized in the phone for all the different things that we're going to be making available on the phone. Now, how updates are going to work for Windows Phone 8? So starting with Windows Phone 8, we're going to be having updates. All the updates are going to be over the air. So from Windows Phone 8 and on, there's not going to be any more the requirement to actually connect or tether your phone into the PC to be able to update the phone to newer versions after Windows Phone 8. Does that make sense? So everything is going to be over the air for that. And we're very excited about that. Microsoft is going to warranty that we're going to have device support for updates 18 months away, at least 18 months away from the time where that particular device was released. So from Windows Phone 8 and on, we're going to have updates for at least 18 months after the phone was released, or more, but at least 18 months. And then also we're going to be enabling programs so you guys can, if there are some enthusiasts there that want to try the beta of the product before it becomes available, you're going to be able to go to a place where you can register, and based on that we're going to be allowing certain specific customers to have access to beta code before we release newer versions of Windows or future versions after Windows Phone 8. Okay. So that is something that we're doing specifically for how to update Windows Phone 8 into the future versions that we will have for that. So again, in summary then, for Windows Phone 8, we're basically including a modern platform that has support for new multiple core chipset, new graphics processor, new modern architecture, more screen resolutions, and removable encryptable storage. So it's very important for you guys to understand that we have that and support for NFC. And there is a lot of requirements that are part of this new solution that are very dependent on the hardware. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because I want to be sure also that we talked about what's going to happen with our existing Windows Phone 7.5 phones into the market. So these are some of the examples. And what we are doing is that we want to bring some of our marquee key areas of improvements that we have done in Windows Phone 8 to Windows Phone 7.5. And we are announcing that we're going to be releasing an update for Windows Phone 7.5, which is called Windows Phone 7.8. It doesn't include everything that what I showed you before, because as you could see, there is a lot of hardware dependencies on the things that we are doing for Windows Phone 8 that are not transferable in Windows Phone 7.5. But at least the things that we think are most of the marquee end-user type of capabilities, like, for example, the new screen, is something that we are, in fact, bringing down into Windows Phone 7.5, and there is going to be an update called Windows Phone 7.8, which will come out right after we release Windows Phone 8 to all the Windows Phone 7.5 phones in the market. And then our commitment to our Windows Phone 7.5 users is, of course, to bring this release of 7.8 with a new Windows Phone start experience, so you can have consistency in there. Again, as I said before, OEMs are going to continue to keep innovating on their devices with great new experiences. An example of that is that, for example, Nokia, they just announced that they're going to be releasing very key new applications for the Lumia line of phones in the next coming weeks. They're releasing new camera capabilities. They're going to be releasing a new version of their Nokia Drive, their award-winning Nokia Drive solution, and so on, more and more and more. So there's going to be more specific applications coming from OEMs that keep improving and delivering innovation. But I think the key thing is that Marketplace have already reached 100,000 applications and is still growing. And as I said before, all the applications that are developed today and that keep developing, that you guys or other ISVs keep developing for Windows Phone 7.5 are going to work in Windows Phone 8. So the ecosystem is going to continue growing because all those applications will become available for Windows Phone 8 as well later on. So with that, just as a summary, One of the key announcement that we wanted to do today, actually, before everything else and all the different platform things that I just talked to, is this fact that Windows Phone 8 is going to have the same core as Windows 8, and is going to really, really let us do great new implementations in this coming version and in the future as well. It's setting up for the future very, very well. So with that, I just wanted to invite you guys to go, if possible, to our product demo stations. We're going to have some other demos that we're going to be showing later on about Windows Phone 8 in our stand. Also, there's going to be a demo theater there. We're going to have a lot of sessions throughout the event. Not all of them are going to be based on Windows Phone 8. We're going to still have also some content on Windows Phone 7.5, because as I said, it's very important that you become familiar on how to develop in Windows Phone 7.5 platform, because that's going to carry over into Windows Phone 8. So there is nothing that you should worry about that. And then if you want to find me later, I'll be most of the time back into the Technical Learning Center down into our expo area in the Windows Phone section. These are all the sessions that we have about Windows Phone. This is our Windows Phone track throughout the day. As you can see, we have a combination of IT pro sessions and developer sessions that I will encourage you guys to attend. Probably you won't be able to see them. I think they're in the printouts now, but we just announced these couple of weeks, last week after we did the announcement, because we needed to be sensitive to the announcement that we want to do last week, so that's why we published them a little bit later. But here you can see all the different type of sessions that we're going to have throughout our business track. And then with that, there's some resources for Techit as well. And with that, what I would like to do is I would like to just do a quick question. Don't forget about submitting your evaluations online. The first person who answers this question right will get a little bit of a prize from us. Let's see. Tell me the key enhancements that we have done for enterprises, for business solutions in Windows Phone. Okay, you were first. Enterprise application deployment. There you go. You got it. So you get Lumia 900. All right, so with that, guys, I would like to thank you for your patience today. Sorry for the internet connection snafus, and thank you very much again.